This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
As the Yontif of Purim comes upon us, it's important to understand the yesoidus of the Yontif in the context of Mechias Amalek. Haman was an Amaleki, and the inyan of Amalek coming to kill Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael fighting back. That's why we read Parsha Zachar before we read the Megillah, to be makdim the Schira to the Asiyah. The Asiyah, the reading of the Megillah and the keeping of the Yontif of Purim and the Halachas of the Yontif, that is Mechias Amalek. So Zachar, which we soon will see, is it or not connected to the mitzvah of Timcha? It's a machlokes rishonim. So therefore, we read the Zachar before the Yontif of Purim. So the Shabbos before we read Parsha Zachar. Zachar is to remember, and Timcha is to be mekayim the mechiyah. And the Gemara seems to say there's an asiyah of mechiyas Amalek. There's a doing. There's an act of Mechias Amalek on Purim, the Megillah, when we read about the downfall of Haman. So the Zachar becomes the Hakdama, the introduction to the Yontif, that the Shabbos before we read Parsha Zachar. Is the mitzvah actually connected? Is Zachar connected to Timcha? Which would, the question would be, if a person can't do Timcha, to destroy, to annihilate, Timcha Zechra Amalek, is there still a mitzvah of Zachar? Is Zachar and Timcha Zechra Amalek connected? The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos clearly connects the two and says that the idea of Zachar is an introduction to help bring out the Timcha. Is to be ma'ir the people, hatred, in order they can go out and kill. Jewish people, difficult for them to kill. For a yid to go and annihilate a whole nation with children, it's difficult. So it needs a zachar. It needs a rally talk. It needs a rally cry to bring out the hatred in order they should be able to go do the mitzvah. The Rambam says that's Pshat and Shmuel, that right before he kills Agag, he's Ma'oyer, he brings up hatred, he brings up evil of Agag. Kasha Shikla Minoshim Chabecha, Keti Shakl Minoshim Imecha, that just like your mother, just like many mothers have lost their children because of you, your mother should lose her child. Says the Rambam, this was the point of saying this was to be ma'orer. It was to arouse hatred against Agag in order he could go and continue and kill him. It's interesting, l'chayra, it's not what the Torah says, Zachar. Zachar normally means to remember what Amalek did on the way. Ashikarcha baderech b'tzeischem. From the Rambam, l'chayra it's mashma that any evil of Amalek is supposed to be brought up. Amalek doesn't have to only bring up Tim Zachar to remember its evil of when we left Mitzrayim. But you see here again that the Rambam in the times of Shmuel also was ma'or the hatred, but with something that had nothing to do with when we left Mitzrayim. It was a personal hatred against Agag, and l'chayra is mashma from the Rambam that that's also nichlal, included in Parsha Zachar. I mean, that's not what it says in the Torah. Zachar, what are we supposed to remember? The Torah says what happened when we left Mitzrayim. And if the Rambam is pointing out that this is what Shmuel was doing by saying Kasha Shikla Minoshim Imecha Ketishaka Minoshim Charbecha, right? Kasha Shikla Minoshim Charbecha Ketishaka Minoshim Imecha, that's what he was doing. So you see that any evil that you bring out, any reason for hatred that you arise and mima'oyr is already a nichlal in the Parshas Zoch. I'll call upon him. The Rambam clearly connects it. Are the Rishonim, Chinuch, and others discussed? Maybe it's not necessarily connected. The Nafkamina would be, for example, women. Women who don't go to war. So maybe they're not Mechuyiv to have Parshas Zoch, which is a Shailin La'Poiskim. Women the Yem Mechuyiv in Zoch, they're not Mechuyiv in Zoch. It's not a mitzvah Seishas Mangram L'Choyra. But still, they don't go to war. And since they don't go to war, so therefore it's not possible to be mechayiv them in Zachar, if Zachar is connected. But if Zachar is not connected, then women could be chayiv. This is a big discussion, halacha. What's the get to the Ashkafa? We have to ask two questions. Question number one, if it's not connected, then what's its point? What is the point of Zachar to remember the hatred? Remember it's evil. What's the point of that? If it's not in order to bring us to fight and to be ma'oyer us to stand up and wage war against them, then what is the point? Second question, and if it is the point of Zachar to connect it to Timcha, to be arouse us to war, how about today that we don't go to war against Amalek? Does it still apply the mitzvah Zachar, and why? Nobody today takes on a gun, and ammunition, and fights Amalekim. You know anybody goes fighting Amalek today? So what would be the point of Zachar, if Zachar is to arouse to a rally cry to the war, and the war we don't do, so why do we have Zachar in today's time? So before we answer this question, we have to make sure that our assumption is right, that we don't go to war against Amalek today. Who said? Maybe, yeah, maybe we should go to war against Amalek. So there's an interesting Haggai's Maimini quoting a smag, that the smag says that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek doesn't apply in our times. When Mashiach will come, that's when it will re-establish the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. When Mashiach comes, the question is why? Why is it not Negeya Bizman Hazeh, according to the Smag, only when Mashiach comes? So there's a pshat from Reb Beryl Soloveitchik, the grandson of the Brisker Rav, actually the son of the Brisker Rav, forgive me, Reb Beryl, the son of the Brisker Rav, had a pshat, and he said as follows. He explained, the Pasuk says, V'hoya kashyaniach Hashem alikecha mikal eivecha misaviv. That when the Eibishter will give you peace, that you will have kibush, conquer of Eretz Yisrael, that's when you'll have the mitzvah of Timcha Zecher Amalek. Says Reb Beryl, it's not only that when we got to Eretz Yisrael and we conquered. You need it to be in the present state of kibush. We have to be in a situation, not that there was once kibush that we conquered and we came to Eretz Yisrael, and from then on there's a mitzvah timcha. V'hoya kasher yoniach isn't a condition of the time in history, but it has to be a condition met presently. V'hoya kasher yoniach, that we have to be kavush in Eretz Yisrael, we have to have conquered the territories and live in peace. In our homeland with security, we don't have that. And since we don't have that, we have to wait for Mashiach. Of course we don't have that. Just because Netanyahu says that you could live on Rechov Din Zagav doesn't mean we have Kibush Eretz Yisrael today. We're still far from the situation that we were Kayim Kibush. We came back maybe. Possible we came back to Eretz Yisrael and we have the old Kibush. The Kibush of before remains today. But V'hoya Kasher Yoniach Hashem, the peace and the tranquility that is needed as a condition isn't a present-day condition, and therefore, Mechias Amalek isn't a mitzvah b'zman hazeh till Mashiach comes. When we'll actually have Kasher Yoniach Hashem Olikecha Mikol Eivecha Misav. My great-grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Beis Aharon, in his Pirus Sovv Lireyim, his sefer on the Yireyim, he explains that maybe the reason for the smag is actually nothing to do with Klal Yisrael's state in Eretz Yisrael, but rather has to do with Melech. In order to go to war against Amalek, it's a din in the Melech. The Rambam discusses in Halacha, Hilchas Melachim, that it is incumbent on a king. Those are one of the things that are incumbent on a king, to go fight Amalek. So could be Tzedin and Melech. We don't have a Melech Bizman Hazeh. Mm-hmm. So we have to wait till Melech HaMashiach. When Mashiach comes, we'll have a Melech. As we will learn later on, to fight Amalek is not an individual responsibility, maybe. From the Rambam, it seems to be mashma that it is a melchemes mitzvah, a melchemes sibur, that the sibur has to go fight it. And therefore it needs a melech. And if it needs a melech, we don't have one today. So we have to wait for Mashiach to come, melech. This seems to be uprooting the mitzvah b'zman hazeh, that there's actually no timcha b'zman hazeh, which leads us to the question that we asked, if there's no mitzvah timcha, and zachar is connected to the timcha, so why is there a mitzvah of zachar? If zachar is in order to bring out timcha zechra malek, and on timcha zechra malek, it's clearly not applicable today, it's not a chiyuv b'zman hazeh. So why is it that there's a mitzvah zachar? Unless we could say, Meheri Yibon HaMikdash, Meheri Yavai Mashiach, we believe any moment Mashiach will come. So it could be we say zachar in order to prepare us for the moment when Mashiach comes that we'll go fight Amalek. Maybe, possible. That like the sman, that the mitzvah is when Mashiach comes. And according to the Rambam that connects the mitzvah zachar to the mitzvah timcha, we maybe have to say that the mitzvah zachar b'zman hazeh is because meheri yibane, meheri yavai Mashiach. And so, the mitzvah of timcha will be niskayim momentarily maybe. And in preparation to that, we do zachar every year. Maybe. Now maybe we could just do zachar the moment Mashiach comes. I could just do zachar then. Be mekayim the mitzvah of zachar. The minute Mashiach comes, take out a sefer Torah. Be mekayim the mitzvah of zachar. There's another school of thought, so to speak. Another mahalach. Reb Chaim Brisker explains that it's a technical problem that we don't do mechiyas amalek today. It's not so much a uprooting of the mitzvah. The mitzvah would apply, but we just can't do the mitzvah b'zman hazeh. Why not? The Gemara tells us Sancheiriv came and messed up the world, Bilbil. He mixed up the whole world. He took this nation and put him here and that nation. We don't know who anyone is anymore. The identity of nations is not clear anymore. Says Reb Chaim, the Rambam actually paskins this. By the mitzvah of annihilating and killing Shiva Amamim, one of anyone from the seven nations, the Rambam ends by saying, Ukfar Ovad Zichram. Their memory is lost. There is no way of knowing who the seven nations are. The Magid Mishnah, the Chreinim on the sites, but why? Because Bas Sancheiriv will build those Kalailam. Sancheiriv came in, so we don't know who the seven nations are. The question Reb Chaim and others ask, why would the Rambam not say this by Amalek, which is the next halacha? Mm-hmm. The next halacha Rambam discusses Amalek. There he didn't say Kfar Avad Zichram. If it's a technical thing that we can't kill Amalek because we don't know who they are because everybody's mixed up and the whole world is, you know, Chinese are actually Japanese and Japanese are actually, they're Americans. Who knows, right? The whole world is all mixed up, right? So we don't know who Amalekim are. Yes, why would the Rambam not write this? Why would the Rambam write this only by killing of the seven nations? We don't know who they are, Kfar Avad Zichram. So many interpret the Rambam that it's actually supposed to be read together. Once he said, Kfar Avad Zichram, and you read the next halacha, and also you should kill Amalek, you understand that it's the same concept, Kfar Avad Zichram. The Rambam is a continuation from the previous halacha of killing the seven nations. That's actually the Mediuk of the Lush of Chain. I think he used the word for Chain and also. You have to kill Amalekim. So when you read, you understand that Kfar Avad Zichram. Others say that it's not true. It's not Kfar Avad Zichram, but actually we could identify Amalekim. The They bring from the Goyin that the Goyin gave over to Reb Chaim Valashiner simanim, facial signs of how to identify an Amaleki. You look at his face, he has a certain look, probably a very mean look, and that look, he's an Amaleki. Story is told, it's brought in the Sifri Agra, and the Briskers in the Chumash Siurim and Parsha Zachar, indoctrinate every Talmud to know this story, so to speak, that Reb Chaim Elazar was walking in the street, and a kid threw a rock at him.
In Russia, threw a rock at him.
Reb Chaim Elazar said, run after the kid. Who is he? They ran, they found that he was the grandson of Tsar Nikolai. So they asked Reb Chaim, why did he care so much? I mean, it's a common occurrence for little kids to throw rocks at that Jewish people and tzaddikim in the street. It's not a big deal. Why'd you get so, let's go catch him and find out who he is. He ran away, finished, let him go. Says Reb Chaim, because I got a mesoira from the Goyin, facial expressions and facial features and simanim, what a Amaleki looks like, and this kid had it. And Reb Chaim says, you see? He was a grandson of Tsar Nikolai Amaleki. He was an Amaleki. Okay? So, we could identify. Maybe that's why the Rambam say Kvar Ovad Zichram. Because there is a way to identify. Later on, we're going to learn that maybe, Amalekim doesn't have to be the nation of Amalek. Amalekim could be others that follow in the sheet of Amalek. Maybe. We're going to learn this a little bit later, and that's why maybe the Rambam doesn't say that there's no Mechias Amalek, because Kvar Ovad Zichram, they are not here anymore. We're going to get to that a little bit later, but as of now, Pashit, the Simanim were given to Reb Chaim, identify who and what an Amaleki is, and maybe because of this, we can't say that there's no Mitzvah Mechias Amalek, technically, because there is a Mitzvah Mechias Amalek. It might be difficult, maybe not everybody knows how to identify them, but they're identifiable. There's discussion in the modern day Achronim if the Chasam Sofer actually did or didn't. It's a question, historic event, did it or didn't happen? Did Chasam Sofer kill an Amalek? Discussion. Some say yes, yeah, some say it's not. It's not true, it never happened. Point being, maybe we do have Mechias Amalek Bizman Azen, so Zachar would apply then. Our question seems to be answered. Our question was, if Zachar, according to the Rambam, is just to bring to Timcha, to annihilate, so what about today that we don't do Timcha? Maybe we should not be Mechliv and Zachar. But the way we're explaining from the Rambam, never said Kvar Ovad Zichram, that you maybe possibly could do Timcha Bizman Azeh. As long as you get the simanim from the briskers, who get it from Reb Chaim Valashina, who gets it from the Goyin, maybe you could identify. Or like we're soon going to learn, there are others who fall under the category of Amalek. And so Zachar does apply. So we have two Mahalchim. Either Zachar is not connected to Timcha, and then the question is, so what's the point of Zachar? I mean, what's the point of remembering the bad of Amalek? Who needs to remember bad? The opposite. Shield yourself. Cover your ears. What do you need to hear bad for? Why remember it? Why does it have to be a whole story? And if Zachar is connected to Timcha, because Zachar is to bring out hatred that you should be able to annihilate, but we don't do Timcha today, or do we? So either we have to say, like we said before, that even if it's for the time Mashiach, the mitzvah Timcha, maybe Zachar is to prepare ourselves. Any moment Mashiach might come. Or maybe, like we're explaining now, that the Timcha does apply today. And this that we don't do it is only a technical reason that we just don't know who they are. Ay, Lamaisa. If they don't know who they are, we don't do it. No. If you would know, and those few who do know the Simanim are capable of doing it. And therefore the mitzvah Zachar does technically actually apply Bizman Hashem. This is, so to speak, in Halach. There's a whole Mahalach and Machshava that the mitzvah of Zachar and the mitzvah of Timcha doesn't mean physically. That you have to physically kill the Amaleki, but you also have to annihilate the Shita and the Tumah, and the evil of what Amalek stands for. This Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman in Kovetz Mamorim, Perik Zayin, brings B'Shem the Goyin. It's not clearly there, but it's famous that that's really a Goyin, that the Goyin learns that the milchama against Amalek is actually a spiritual milchama as well as a physical milchama. That you have to fight Amalek, the spiritual evil of Amalek, and it's a spiritual milchama against Amalek. If you look at the Sfas Emes, Yir Tafresh Mem Zayin, he clearly states, Milchemes Amalek is possible b'yameinu. Why? Because Milchemes Amalek is Tumas Amalek Asher b'kirbeinu, which is actually within us, which is one step further. That we're not only looking for Tumas Amalek from the out, Tumas Amalek in others, Tumas Amalek in other peoples and nations that have Tumas Amalek, and I'll tell you a little secret that Rabbi Chanan in Kaivitz Mamarim actually says Amalek could be Jewish people as well. Rabbi Chanan goes through a whole mahalach with the Goyin that Amalek has to do with Bali Machloikis, it has to do with Lashon Hara. You look at Rabbi Chanan and says, and we have to annihilate those Amalekim as well, like an Erev Rav. Bali Machloikis is Amalek. So we have a Chiddush that it's not only Goyim from other nations, but it could be within our borders, so to speak, also. And the Sfas Emes is going one step further, that it could even be within us. Each one of us within us has this little piece of Amalek. And therefore, the mitzvah of Zachar and Timcha is extremely, extremely relevant, Bizman Hazeh. So again, till here we were discussing halachically, if there is a mitzvah, mechias Amalek, bizman hazeh, yes, no, pro and con. And therefore, is Zachar or not Zachar applicable today? Now we're saying, even if we're going to come and say that there is no actual physical mitzvah of Timcha, but the Timcha, the war against Amalek, takes on a whole new face. Takes on a whole new idea, and that is a spiritual war against Amalek, against the sheet and the tumah of what Amalek stands for. And this milchama, and this enemy, doesn't have to be another nation, a guy. It could actually be a Jew, like Rabbi Chanan in Kaivitz Mamarim says, or one step further, like the Sfas Emes says, each one of us from within has a little piece of Amalek seeped into our shayrish of kedusha, of our neshama, and that we have to uproot, annihilate, and destroy. If so, it becomes incumbent upon us to understand what is that piece of Amalek that's within us. What is Amalek? You know, we understand the Amaleki that comes from the nation of Amalek. That's pretty easy to understand, and we know they're evil, so they're evil. But now we're discussing Tumas Amalek. Now we're discussing the spiritual evil of Amalek that seeped even within the neshama of every of within ourselves. What is it? So I think we have to identify Amalek. What is Amalek's weakness and rishus and its tumah? What is it? So I begin with the, so to speak, the most famous pshatim and the halchim. And as we continue, we'll go to the different svarim that explain different points of what the tumah of Amalek is. From the most famous, the most classic, the most accepted pshatim, kfira. Amalek is about heresy against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Which part of emuna? Hashgacha pratis. Asher karcha, karcha is mikra. Mikra means happening. That they believe everything is, happens.
Mikre.
Mikre, it happens. No Ashgacha Pratis. This has brought many Svarim. Classically, in beautiful language, it's brought in the Netziv. I think it's Perik Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. I don't have it in front of me, but I think that's where it is. Or Perik Yud Dalet, Pasuk Zayin. I think it's Perik Yud Dalet, Pasuk Zayin. Teudas Amalek, says the Netziv. The Teuda, the constitution. What is Amalek's constitution? America has a constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and of course they don't write, but and money. What is Amalek? Amalek's te'uda is shesoinim es hashgacha betachlus asina. They hate hashgacha pratis. You hear? Oh, now we've identified, we've given a face to the tomb of Amalek. So now we have to ask ourselves, did it seep into us? Yes, most definitely. We rabble and fight within ourselves. Every day within ourselves, Yemuna Bitachin, do we believe fully in Hashgacha Pratis? We say we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. Outwardly, we declare Emuna and Bitachin, but within, Bikirbeinu, as the Sfasem says, do we really have true Emuna in Hashgacha Pratis? We fight with this. In English, we say we ramble with this every day. This is one of the difficulties. We fight internally. Hashgacha Pratis. So this is the Amalek and his poison and his bad influence that seeped into within us, within Klal Yisrael. So Zachar is to remember Amalek's hatred. Tashkacha Pratis, Mulcham al Hashem, they're fighting against Hashem, against Emunah and Hashem. And so, Zachar remembers, so we should be Timcha Zecha Amalek, that we have to annihilate. And we have to uproot this Kfira in Hashkacha Pratis. That's shot number one that the Mefarshim talk about Tumas Amalek. What is Amalek? What does Amalek stand for? What is the evil of Amalek? Pshat number two is found in the Yalkut Shemayni. Yalkut Shemayni discusses that Amalek stands for Leitzanus. Leitzanus. Mockery, jokes. Leitzanus is Deichem Etechachais. An Erlecha, honest Yid. Smyotno. Right? Jokes. The idea is that when somebody takes life serious, he takes the Eibishter serious. To make light of it is litzanus. Litzanus, he makes it all a joke. Yeah. This is one of the tumas that is attached to Amalek. Now, of course, we all suffer from this as well. We make light of things that we shouldn't make light of. We don't respect and have reverence to things that we should have reverence to. And this becomes Zachar and Timcha, to remember Amalek's evil, and Timcha to uproot it. A third pshat brought in the Kadmoinim, Rab Chanoich Henech Kerlstein, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, in his Kuntris on Purim, quotes Kadmoinim that say Amalek is Gaiva. Gaiva. Amalek is Gematria Rom. 40. Take the German. The German, who we will soon learn later on in the Shir, is the quintessential Amalek. It was a lot of about Gaiva, the goose step. It was the pride. Gaiva. The Gaiva is what Amalek stands for. Brazenness. That's Ambachere Tachas. They weren't afraid. Everybody was afraid. They're not afraid. They stand strong and they'll stand up against everybody. They'll fight. This is Gaiva. And of course, we have to be Meicha this. This is one of the things. So this is the third thing that is found in the Kadmoinim. See, the Shesvarim speak a lot about this. Zerakaydish. The Indian of Amalek and Gaiva. Okay. There's a fourth Mahalach and Pshat that is found in the Mefarshim discussion about Amalek, and that is hatred to Kedusha. Bizui Dvarim Kedushim. Hatred and embarrassment to things which have to do with Kedusha. We find that they took the Mila and threw it up to the Shemayim, and they said, this is what you chose. You chose the Mila. So on one hand, that's a Litzanis. On the other hand, it's also a Bizui Lidvarim Kedoshim. It's a Bizui for things which is Haley. We know that the word Ashikarcha also has a meaning in the Mefarshim. Keri, Tuma. Kedusha is the opposite of Tuma. Tuma is the opposite of Kedusha. They like Tuma, they hate Kedusha. They like to undermine Kedusha. Amalek is Bizui Dvaram Shabbat Kedusha. Sifsei Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander. Sifsei Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander gives this Mahalach that Amalek is about Bizui Dvaram Shabbat Kedusha. Chaim Friedlander, Zech Tzadik Levracha, was the Panavision Mashgiach. He wrote classics for him on Hashkafa and Drush that they're very much accepted in the Olam HaTorah. Every yeshiva guy learns Sifsei Chaim before you come to Yontif. So there he discusses this topic. Bizui Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha is Amalek, like they threw up the Mila, embarrassing Kedusha. And I'm adding, of course, we know that's what it means, Asher Karcha, Lash and Keri, Tumah. Tumah is the opposite of Kedusha. So we have four Pshatim. So again, either it's about the Kfira in Ashgacha Pratis, Litzanis, Gaiva, and Bizui Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha. Bizui Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha. Litzan, Hashgacha Pratis, that they're Kaifer in Hashgacha Pratis, Gaiva, Litzanis, and Bizui Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha. Rabarin, Shiva from Lakewood, Zech Tzadik Levrach, and his Sefer Mishnah, Rabarin broadens the idea of Amalek, that it's a much broader than just this particular or that particular, but rather Amalek stands for all evil. And it's interesting, he makes that the Melchama against Amalek is good against evil in the world. Klal Yisrael is good, Amalek is evil. And that's Pshat Rafi Yadayim and Atayra, Amalek comes. Why does Amalek come? Because where is Rafi Yadayim and Atayra, you give Kayach, strength to evil. The balance. It's a tug of war between good and evil. So the minute Klal Yisrael doesn't do what it has to do, evil gets stronger. And the Melchama Lashem is to fight. It's good versus evil. Reb Nosson Zecher Tzadik Levrach in his Rishimos of the Shmuzin on Purim, he discusses how Amalek stands for every evil thing. Amalek is a general thing about evil. Every bad trait is an Amalek. And if you look at the Chassidish Sfarim, Ayav Yisrael, the Apta, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, they bring a Zohar about this. That the Zohar says that Amalek is the Samach Mem, the Sitra Acher. Amalek is Yitzribisha. He's the Yetzirah. In the Zohar, we put together Amalek and Yetzirah, Amalek and Satan. And the Pshat is the way we're explaining that it's not only a particular evil, but actually it's a broad spectrum of everything bad Amalek stands for, because Amalek is Yetzirah. So we've begun with Pratim, and as the Maram HaKoyim, so to speak, progress, we see that it seems to be broader, like Rav Aaron says, it's about good versus all evil. In the world there's good, in the world there's evil. Amalek represents evil, like Rav Nosson and other Sfarim discuss, because Amalek is Yetzirah. Chazal call him Kelev. Chazal say, what happened? We said, Ayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. I'm going to sick of them, the Kelev. Kelev obviously represents that it's not just one bad trait, but obviously Kelev means bad, evil. Okay. You look at the Chassidish Sfarim, they discuss the idea of Amalek as a klipa. Klipa is a mythology, a word of something that hinders Avodas Hashem. In Avodas Hashem, there are things that are blockages. I would call them when a person has blood clots in his heart. In his spiritual heart, there's blood clots. And those are called klipas, like cholesterols. Okay, klipa, it goes around the heart, cholesterol, and it blood clots the spiritual flow of blood to the heart. And the Svarim identify klipas, Amalek, four or five things. One of them, if you look at the Svarim, they bring down, it's about krirus. Asher karcha is krirus, cold. When a yid davens and learns, he's supposed to learn with fire, slavas. warmth and feeling and zeal. When a person learns and he's calm, this is called Asher Karcho, cold. Kriirus. And Avodas Yisrael, Sefer Avodas Yisrael discusses, and that's probably where the Makar is, for where all the Chassidus Torah comes from. Asher Karcho, the klipa of Amalek is Kriirus. Yeah, okay, yeah, no problem. Alright, I'll daven, I'll learn. Blah, blah, blah. But you're not into it, heart and soul. Okay. Another pshat that's brought, like I told you, from the Zera Kodesh, the klip is gaiva. Gaiva interferes tremendous in Avodas Hashem. It becomes a klipa. Another pshat which is brought in the Svar Makdoshim, that the klipa of Amalek is anova yisera, the opposite of gaiva. Too humble. Not courage. No self-esteem in Avodas Hashem. That a person doesn't feel proud. He feels inadequate. He's not. He doesn't feel comfortable to do the Avodas Hashem. For example, if you look, Shaul didn't kill out Agag. He left him alive. Shmuel gives him Musar. Im katan atan beinecha. Roshe Alfa Yisrael Ato. If you are humble, too humble, you can't do it either. There's a certain guy with the Kedusha. There's a certain, when a person is secure, and he's proud, and he has self-esteem that he's a Yid, Amalek undermines that. The Bizui comes to undermine that the Jew should feel inadequate. What's the right word in English? Inadequate. That's the word I'm looking for. Inadequate. He feels inadequate, you know. And because of that, he doesn't want to, his payas, his this. He tries to cover it up. That's called anava yisera, lacking gaiva de kedusha. So some learn it's gaiva, and some learn the opposite. That they take away the courage and the proud. I once told you a nice story with the Satmar Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Satmar Rebbe was very strong in his convictions, and he was proud. And when they came to America, it wasn't easy to be a Hasidic Jew. People in the street, they didn't know what it looked. I mean, it looked weird. You know, look at the way the guy dresses. Yeah, alien. Strange, alien. Right. So they told the Rebbe that they don't want to wear the shtreimel in the street. They're willing to wear it in the shul, but not in the street. Because mitlachen, they're going to laugh. They're going to say, look, this guy has a fox on his head. What's he walking around like that for? Satmar Rebbe said, no, not true. Be proud, you're a Yid. They're not going to laugh. Okay, they're walking in the street. And right away, people start to laugh at them. Hey, look, the shvartis was standing there laughing at them. So Ashkenazi tells the Rebbe, see Rebbe, they're laughing. So the Rebbe said, how do you know they're laughing at me, that I'm wearing my shtreimel? Maybe they're laughing at you, a Hasidic Yid without a shtreimel. How do you know that they're laughing at me? That's called gaiva de kedusha, proud, secure. But when a person is insecure, he gets scared. He becomes inadequate to respond properly and to do what he has to do. That's what Shmuel was telling Sholem. Katan atam beinecha. What are you doing? You're supposed to lead. You're not supposed to be humble that you feel scared to listen to people. What are you doing? If you look at the Bnei Yisachar on the topic of Amalek, Chodesh Adar, he talks about the klipa of emuna. Emuna itself, it's called emuna al yidei chakira. It's a klipa. Which means that a person cannot believe in Hashem unless he understands. It has to come through his philosophy and his havana, otherwise he's not mekabel. He said that's Amalek. Amalek infused in Klal Yisrael, that they don't have the emuna pshuta. So it's a little different. The Tziv learns that the Kfir and Amunah was about Ashgacha Pratis. And the Bnei Sasch is learning that the Kfira and Emunah is about Emunah Pshuta. To take away the Emunah Pshuta, that they should have Emunah only Aydei Mechker, only through the philosophical. Okay. If you look at the Tver Shleima, he talks about the Klipa of Amalek. The Klipa of Amalek is Taiva. The Klipa of Amalek is Taiva. And I want you to know it's a Mefurish Gayan. The Gayan in the Ar Yoichel, Parshas Nasai, says that Klal Yisrael is Lev.
Heart.
What is the part of the body which is always at war, so to speak, says the Gaon, with the heart? The liver. And he explains why. The liver is the taiva. That's where taiva comes from. Taiva is make a person eat. Eat is bad for the liver, for the heart. Best thing, you go to a doctor, you know what he tells you? Stop eating. They themselves don't stop eating, the doctors who, you know, they come to them. I once went to a doctor, he told me, stop eating. I look at him, but you don't stop eating, look what you look like. He said, well, it doesn't mean I listen to what I say, I should listen to what I talk. He preaches but doesn't practice. He tells me, and he says, that's no problem. To him, he had no problem with that. He gets paid to give good advice, he tells me. So I told him, you know what? I'll give you the advice, maybe you pay me. He didn't like it very much. But the point is, eat and heart don't go together. Okay. Says the Goyin, Klal Yisrael's Leiv, Esav is Kaveh Taiva. And he says, this dates back all the way to Esa, where he says, Aliteini Nam and Adam Adam Azeh. Esav is a fresser, don't stop eating Esav. This is the Kayach of Taiva that Amalek and Esav stand for. Notice, Rabbi Isai, in the Megillah, what was the story with Haman? It was all about the Mishta in the beginning, with Mishta. He comes to the main, more Mishta, and then that's how he gets Klal Yisrael, and then the Mishta of Esther. Eating and more eating and more eating! Okay. Tami Chanukah, we saw any story about the Yevanim eating? Was there any big story? No, there was no story about eating in the... Amalek is about good food. Burger King, and McDonald's, and Kentucky Fried Chickens, right, you name it. Eating and more eating and more eating. Aliteini nam and adam adam azeh. Says the Goyin, that's Pshat Melchama Lashem Ba'amalek. Lamid Lashem Ba'amalek. Take the Lamid and the Bay Leif. And that's the Melchama. The Melchama is against the Leif, the Taivis. Against the Yid who's Parash Menataiva. And what becomes the anecdote, says the Goyin? Tefillin. Ki yad al keis ka. You wear the tefillin, keneged the lev. Keis ka, yad. The tefillin shal yad is covered. And that's Milchama Lashem Bamalek. That protects the tefillin against Amalek. With this, I would like to explain why in the Megillah we find like Hudim Haisa Oyra Vasimcha Vasasim Vikar. So what is Sasin? Sasin is Mila. What is Oyra? It's Tyra. So I know, I understand Tyra. Tyra is because Kim Mashikib Lukvar. I understand Sasin Mila because Amalek with the Mila could be, right? They were throwing the Milas. But where's Vikar Tfilin? Where did Tfilin come in? Gemara says Vikar means Tfilin. And the answer is like the Goyin Gevaldik. Because Vikar is the tefillin which fights. And soon we're going to learn how it fights. Soon we're going to learn how it fights against. Because the Ragoyin says, V'ro kolam ha'oretz k'shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yaro miponecha. We're going to get to that part of the Ragoyin a little bit later. But like this, I understand in the Megillah, the storyline of the Megillah, the eating, and Haman, and the anti-Haman, Yakar, the fact that the tefillin was, at the end of the story of the Megillah, a part of the Megillah. Okay. You know, Rabbi Isai, till here I've given you a lot of food for thought, what we have to work on. Gaiva and Taiva and Anova and Litzonis and Amun and Bita. So much. How about for us simple people? What's Lamaisa? How could we be Mekayim Parshas Timcha Zecha Amalek simply today, tomorrow, in the next few days. True, we have to work on everything. But something which is more v'mezakt, simple and to the point. You know what I'm thinking? I thought about it for quite a while. Amalek also stands for Sinas Yisrael. Hatred. Ace of Sinai Liakiv. If you look, it says in the Megillah that they killed from Shushan and Shushan, a lot of killing in Shushan, right? At the end of the Megillah, Klal Yisrael stood up and made massacre in Shushan. The Targum, every time it says the word Shushan, says with the Beis Amalek. Targum. Every time it says that the Klal Yisrael killed so and so in Shushan and they did so and so, mid the Beis HaMalek. Mefarshim asked, what, Shushan was Beis HaMalek? How did Shushan become Beis HaMalek? So some want to say maybe it's Haman's family and Shushan was full of Haman. Haman spread all over Shushan, it was his place. His children, his grandchildren, his cousins, and his uncles, and a chanami, it's all mid the Beis HaMalek. They say, oh, B'Shem Reb Chaim, a different pshat. That any nation, doesn't have to be an Amaleki, any guy, any Gentile, who goes with the sheet of Amalek, to hate and to kill Klal Yisrael, becomes an Amaleki. An Amaleki doesn't have to be necessarily Mizer Amalek. Amalek is the sheet of hating and killing. Sayni Yehudim. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara tells us, in Davav, in Megillah, the Gemara says that Al Tafik Zmamai, we ask the Abish to don't take off the mouth cover of Esav. Who is the mouth cover of Esav? Well, what is that? What's it referring to? Says the Gemara, Zu Germamia Shal Edaim. Germamia was a country of Edaim. It comes from the Edaim family. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take off its mouth, its resin, it would swallow and want to destroy the whole world. So we ask the Abish to Al Tafeg Zmamai, don't take off its mouth cover. Keep him locked under key, so to speak. Otherwise he'll conquer the world. The Farshim say Germamia means Germany. This is a remiss that the Germany wanted to conquer the world. And we ask the Abish to stop him, because if the Abish didn't stop him, he would have conquered the whole world. And what do we see? Germami Shaledim, that it comes from Amalek. So some want to say they actually do come from Amalek, but you don't know. And the answer is, any nation that goes with the sheet of Haman to kill and to destroy Klal Yisrael is Amalek. If you look at the Sefer Ish HaLachaimah, Reb Chaim Zonnenfeld clearly stated in Eretz Yisrael, Germany is Amalek. The German nation is Amalek for this reason. Amalek is people who go with the Shita of annihilation of Jewish people. And so, what is the timcha? How do I be meicha that? How do I fight that? What's the melchama? I believe Avas Yisrael. That if you come with Avas Yisrael, you could come and uproot the sin of the Goyim. A gesture of Avas Yisrael is the anti-Amalek of Sinas Yisrael. We find this in the Megillah. The Megillah says, Leich Knois is Kol HaYehudim Asher B'Shushan. Come together. Put everybody in Tzumu Alai. And I was thinking, Amayri Dikim Pshat. What's Pshat B'Tzumu Alai? Fast for me. It's called Tainus Esther. It's not called Tainus of Klal Yisrael. Esther wanted that the entire Klal Yisrael should join together to help Esther. That was the Achdus that was needed, that was required in order to bring out the Yeshua against Haman. That Klal Yisrael had to unite for the cause of one. And there, by that, bringing out the cause of Yeshua to all. V'tzumu alai. When Klal Yisrael lay K'naisis Kol HaYehudim, they didn't come and fast for themselves. They fasted for Esther, for one. And I'll tell you, Rabbi, what I'm referring to. You know, recently my Rebbe Rebelsky was not well. I tried to visit. When I came to the hospital, they asked that nobody should visit. So I went to visit somebody else. I found another Jew who needed visitation. He needed someone to talk to him. I saw he was looking, dying for a little attention. So I sat with him, and he kept me a little bit, you know. He was telling me about his family and his problem, and then he asked me to get him ice, and then to get him a nurse, and to get him a chvesa, a few other things. I was... A guy comes over to me, and he says to me, "So how's your pop?" He's in the room next door, and he was there with his father. His father was also a chayla. So I said, "My pop?" First, I didn't know what he was talking about, pop. I didn't say what he meant. Pop, I don't know. So I go, "By what?" I thought maybe ice pop. I faced the ice. I don't know what he was referring to. So he goes, "How's your father, your dad?" I said, "My dad's not my father. What are you talking about? It's not your father?" He said, "No." So he says, "I saw you were taking care of him and you were helping him with the blanket." It was weird to him. Like, I must be his father. Why would I help with his blanket, help him get up from a little bit to his back and get him ice and run around? He didn't. So he tells me, "So he's your uncle?" I said, "No." He says, "So I'll tell you the truth. I don't even know his name. I don't know who it is." He couldn't get over it. He says he was bewildered by it. Okay. I came back the next week to visit this guy again. I told him, I promised him I'd come back. The guy wasn't there anymore. I guess he's better or something. But this guy, the German guy, Baruch Hashem, was there with... I told you he's a German guy. This guy, Baruch Hashem, was there with his father. He was still there, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So he comes over to me and he says, "I want you to know something. I saw the way you were treating this guy. You don't even know him." And then I started to look around and I see the way the Jewish people, they're so involved with helping all the sick people here in the hospital. They bring food and the unbelievable bikkur chaylim that goes on. It's amazing. It's amazing what goes on in the hospital by Jewish people. It's amazing. It's something. The goyim also have chesed, not this. It's around the clock. People coming and the food and what do you need? It's unbelievable. So he tells me he's a German. And in his home, they have about Mein Kampf. He has that stuff at home. He says, "When I started to see what the Jewish people, how they love each other, I said, it's all a bunch of, I can't repeat it by a share, the words he used. It's a bunch of, and I realized that it's all." So I told him, "So what'd you do?" He ripped up the magazine that he had about Hitler. He ripped up his papers, his place, whatever he told me. So I said, "Could you do me a favor? Could you bring me a piece of it? Like this, I could show the Olam I was Mekayim Timcha Zecha Amalek. How was I Mekha the Zecha Amalek? By acting kind. That's why Purim we have Matanis Lev Yoinim. That's how you fight Haman. That's how you fight Amalek. You fight Amalek with Avas Yisrael, because he's Sinas Yisrael. Do you know what Amalek tried to do? Try to embarrass the Jew. A Jew is a disgusting thing to him. Germany began its campaign against the Jews to try to show they're subhuman, they're ugly. The noses, the this, the facial. That's why we say they don't understand the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Sheishanas Yaakov. Why do we talk about Sheishanas Yaakov? The beauty of Klal Yisrael. The Goyim tried to make us less, so we show a character. Look at the beauty of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael came together like Knois, Klal Yehudim. That's Shat Mordechai Yotzel, Ne'amel, Bevush. Malchus, Tcheles, Chur, Vargo, who cares? And the answer is to elevate the beauty of the Yid, because Haman was to undermine. And this is a big Musa, Rabbi Yisai. Vayilim should know this. Purim is not a time to embarrass one or the other. Purim is not a time, in Yiddish Zakna, Reinstechen, to make cheap or zilzul, it's honest about other people. It's the opposite, it's a time of Achtus. Time of coming together, time of Ahava. That's Mechias Amalek. If not, you do what Amalek wanted. To sit there and make Chayzik of Rabbeim and friends, and That's exactly what Amalek did. You're doing what Amalek wanted you to do. You're not being Meich Amalek, Fakert. You're being Mekayim, Orem Mordechai, Baruch Haman. That's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. The idea is to be Mechabed, to come together, Ba'achtus. And I think we could go and explain something very interesting about Parsha Zachar. You know, the halacha is that Zachar has to be read from a Sefer Torah with a minyan. There's a big question, why does it have to be read from a Sefer Torah, and why with a minyan? So the Rishayim discuss, maybe it's rooted in the fact that it says, K'sayv zayzi karam ba-sefer. Sefer means a Sefer Torah. So why a minyan? Just take out a Sefer Torah and we'll have a reading. Take out a Sefer Torah. So some want to say you can't take out a Sefer Torah without a minyan, and therefore Chacham Mukaveya it with a Sefer Torah with a minyan. That's the whole shaila by women. They want to hear Zachar. There's no minyan. Could you take out a Sefer Torah? Women don't make a minyan. The Keren Oira in Yud Beis in Brachas says the reason why we do it from a Sefer Torah with a minyan, because it's a Melchemes Tzibur. Like I told you before, it's not a Melcham of the Yachid, the individual to go and fight a Malik. It's a Melchemes Tzibur. And therefore they were Mesakin Zachar L'Oira the Tzibur to Melchama. That's why we need a minyan. So I was thinking that's halachically so, and maybe also in Hashkafa and in Musar there's a reason, there's a significance to the idea of Tzibur and minyan. And that is, like we've explained before, that the Milcham against Amalek is the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. So therefore we do it B'Tzibur. Zachar is Asher Osel Chamalek, we Mekayim it B'Tzibur, because the idea of Zachar is to join as a Tzibur together to fight Amalek. Leich Knois is Kala Yehudim. As Yechidim, we won't be able to win the war. But as Rabin, Klal Yisrael, we could. And I think, because that really goes to the Shoyrish of what Amalek stands for. And I'll explain to you what I mean. You notice the Pasuk says, Zachar, Eis Asher Osa Lecha Amalek. Zachar is a Lashon Yachid, Asher Osa Lecha Amalek is a Lashon Yachid, Asher Karcha Baderech, Vayizani Becha, Va'ata, it's all Lashon Yachid. Why Lashon Yachid should say Zichru or Karchachem? So you're going to say, maybe because it's a nation. The idea was they did it to Klal Yisrael. So why does it say B'tzei Schem in Mitzrayim? It should have said B'tzei Schem. Zachar Eis Asher Osa Lecha Amalek. It should have said B'tzei Schem in Mitzrayim. B'tzei Schem, you left. You were a group of people. They came to destroy the Lecha. They came to destroy the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. Zachar Eis Asher Osa Lecha Amalek. Asher Karcha. Vayizani Becha. Va'ata. Klal Yisrael as a group. Because they destroy and attack the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. And where do we see this? So there's an interesting Baal Shem that says, notice who they went after. Kol ha-nechshalim acharecha. Says Rashi that the Onan was pilot them. Who are these nechshalim, these weak that were left behind? The Onan spit them out because they were balichet. Says the Baal Shem, so you see they weren't connected to the Tzibur. Oh, when you have Jews who are not connected, Amalek catches. They weren't connected. They were separate from the Tzibur. I would like to say a pshat, an id, and give a little bit of a different, same understanding, but from a different angle. You know what a nechshalim are? The weaker ones. Why was it that there was such a thing that the elite went and the nechshalim were left behind? That's what Klal Yisrael stands for. That the strong ones go ahead and the weak ones are left to be fall behind. That means that's not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's ki'ishecha b'levecha, the weak ones should be picked up by the strong ones and be carried, be taken, be mechuzik, to fix them, to help them. When you start separating, I'm the elite and these guys are the weaker ones, this becomes rabbeisai, a pirut, and that's where Amalek comes. Amalek comes in such a situation. And I think that's the Pshat Zachar Eis Hashasa L'cha Amalek. And therefore it's done B'tzibur. I saw there's an interesting Chassam Seifer. Chassam Seifer explains that the Mishkan, you wanted Mishkan, here you got Mishkan, that the Mishkan is Krashim. How were the Krashim held together? Within there was a Briya Chatichain, like straight through every middle, they were held together. Then there was two, one on top and one on the bottom, on the outside. Okay. So the Chassam Seifer goes through a whole Cheshbin. That's good for each wall, that the walls stay together. But how about the four walls? How did they stay together? Wait, then how are they mechubar?
They were inside each one.
I'm talking about the four walls, this wall and this wall. Here, this wall with this wall. How did it stay together? The corners, how did it stay together? So the Chassam Seifer says, and that's the Nes and a Chanami. When Moshe put up the Mishkan, it couldn't stand. It needed a Nes. It says clearly, Moshe kept on putting on the Mishkan, kept on falling. This is why he says the Chassam Seifer, that's why he kept on falling, because you need to connect the four walls. You can't have four walls. He says, each wall, I understand, is connected, but what about the four walls? It says the Chassam Seifer was a Nes. Why did we do this nest? Why was it necessary? Just make it that it should be all the four walls attached, like a house. To teach us, says the Chassam Seifer, that when the Krashim are together, one by one into one, which is Klal Yisrael's Mechubra one to one, the house doesn't collapse. Emunah will never become, will never leave Klal Yisrael. They'll never disintegrate into different parts of belief in Hashem. You notice all other religions, they have the Shiite and the Sunni. They kill each other. The Christians, they have the Mormons and then the Protestants, and they kill each other. By Klal Yisrael, there's different types.
Same thing, no?
But all the same emunah.
Reform, conservative.
No? You went and killed reformed people?
They'll kill us.
Yeah.
Reformed people, they hate us very much.
I'm very sorry to tell you, no reformed Jew picked up a gun and shot me. I'm sorry to tell you, never happened. No reformed Jew ever shot me. Jewish people, they have liberal, this and that, but they believe in the Eibishter. They believe that we all believe in the same Hashem, and we're all one nation. He says, what's the problem? That we're not attached. The problem is that we're not mechubar. Kol zman, says the Chassam Seifer, the Klal Yisrael is attached, Emunah stays intact. That's the lesson of the Mishkan. I think with this, we can understand how Amalek is kfir against Emunah. They attack, when do they attack? By two things, Rafi Yudayim and Atayra, and lack of Achdus. Both things cause a lack of Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person begins to sway from Torah, he doesn't have what keeps him strong in Emunah. When a person sways from Achdus, he doesn't have what keeps him strong in Emunah. And the reason for this is, if you look at the Svar of Rabbi Yeruchim, I think we could work with the Mahalach that he has. So if you connect the three, you have all three. If Klal Yisrael is connected, if they're connected to the Torah, then there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's third connection. The way it sticks together is this formula. Kuchibrichu, Yisrael, all of Yisrael, Arise, the strong learning, and the Mela Emunah. So Amalek attacks Rafi Yudayim and Atayra, I believe, Pshat. It attacks when there's no Achdus. And what's the result? There's no Hashem. There's no Emunah. The third part of the Shloish Shutrim, so to speak, also falls away. And this is Melchama L'Hashem Amalek Midor Dor. Let us talk about Zaycha. Kayim, the mitzvah of Zachar. Remember what we have to do in order to Mekayim the mitzvah of Timcha, what we must fix and correct to uproot the Esav and the Amalek within us and the Amalek that's...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.